Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to On Deadline, a deep dive into a single topic from Odyssey news and talk stations across the country. Hey, have you heard any good jokes lately? If so, you weren't watching The Late Show, because host Stephen Colbert hasn't exactly been yucking it up since the news came down that Paramount is pulling the plug on his show. The network has opted to end the show entirely next May, rather than replace Colbert as host. He joined the show more than a decade ago, replacing David Letterman, who hosted the show for more than 20 years. Before Letterman's show, Johnny Carson was the indisputed king of evening talk shows. And Letterman was actually expected to take over Carson's show on NBC before it was handed over to Jay Leno. That's when Letterman got his show at CBS, which didn't actually have its own evening talk show at the time. There's been a fair amount of late-night talk show controversy since then, but we need to stay focused on the current drama. The cancellation came just days after Colbert criticized Paramount for paying President Donald Trump $16 million over a 60 Minutes video with former Vice President Kamala Harris that Trump claimed was deceptively edited during the campaign season last year. Colbert slammed the settlement as a, quote, big fat bribe. Notably, Paramount also wants to sell itself to the entertainment behemoth Skydance Media. And that has to be approved by the FCC, a federal entity that rolls up to President Trump. Is it a coincidence? While many say no, Paramount has maintained that canceling The Late Show was, quote, purely a financial decision against a challenging backdrop in late night. And recently, according to Nielsen ratings, the show averaged 2.42 million viewers. That outpaced ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live at 1.77 million and NBC's The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon at 1.19 million in the advertiser-coveted 18 to 49 demographic. But as Reuters pointed out, the late-night format has been struggling for years. As viewers increasingly cut the cable and broadcast TV cords and migrate over to streaming, which is definitely less focused on appointment viewing like these late-night shows tend to be. Younger viewers, in particular, are more apt to look at YouTube or TikTok, leaving smaller, aging TV audiences and declining ad revenues. With more on the Colbert controversy and what it means about the current media landscape, here's Jesse Holcomb on Tommy Tucker's show at WWL in New Orleans. Holcomb is a professor of journalism and communication at Calvin University and also a former associate director of research at the Pew Research Center.
Well, Stephen Colbert, of course, the host of Late Night, CBS's flagship late night TV show, the show got canceled rather unceremoniously. And this is in the wake of some additional drama with CBS's parent company, Paramount, which we'll be getting to, Tommy, in a few moments. But the company claimed that it was purely a financial decision to end the show, but it's not just setting it up for a new host, Tommy. This longtime famed late night show is lights out, so it's not coming back, raising a lot of questions about whether the timing of the end of this show was in fact purely financial. Or indeed whether there were political motivations behind the decision.
I'm trying to remember, this show started with David Letterman when he left NBC or not?
That's right. It's been on the air for quite some time and had been the ratings leader for late night shows of its kind.
So how could it not be making money? That's what I'm confused about. Do we really know? I mean, I don't know if their books are open or not.
Well, we don't know all the details, but what I can tell you is that a show like this is very expensive to produce. You've got, of course, your talent's salary, but then you've got an enormous staff of producers and other handlers. So it's very expensive to produce. Meanwhile, even while it was generating stronger ratings than some of its competing shows, ratings overall, I mean, the late night television business, as the company had stated, it's sort of in rocky days. The medium has struggled a little bit competing with other sources of media at that time slot. And so the advertising revenue generated to support the show just isn't what it used to be.
Let's talk about late night TV before we get to the specifics of the fine and so forth. Since, I guess, it goes back before Johnny Carson. I'm trying to think of the history of this thing with Steve Allen and Jack Parr, and then you had Johnny Carson. From there, they tried a couple of spinoffs.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Has the diffusion of media, lifestyles, what is it that's changed at late night? Because you always would wonder, well, why would anybody advertise late at night? Who's up to see it, right?
Right. Well, these late night shows were an artifact of the classic appointment television culture. And this affected not just late night TV, but it was relevant to other newscasts as well. Cable TV, primetime news, you've got your evening news. Basically, Tommy, the way things worked for much of the 20th century was that Americans would tune in at a specific time to watch their favorite programs. And there was always an audience, always a market for some folks to be watching late night TV. And in fact, over the course of the early 2000s, even local television stations were adding additional news broadcasts timed around these late night TV programs. So adding new time slots, it was really the way that media worked and the way that Americans kind of oriented their schedules. That changed a lot with the emergence of the internet, smartphones, streaming, all these other things competing for people's time.
These shows have turned, too, as opposed to when Carson was hosting it, they have turned pretty political, have they not?
Well, Tommy, you do raise a good point. Yes, it became increasingly political, as did lots of news-related and news-adjacent media, too, I should add. Since we're talking about CBS, we're not really talking about the Walter Cronkite era of CBS that was around sort of, in the 60s and 70s. Late night TV programs started to become more political. They developed an edge. And you've got hosts like Jimmy Kimmel as well, who are increasingly sort of have got a political edge to their tone. And Colbert was certainly one of them. He had he was not shy about using some barbed rhetoric about the president, about Trump, even his own company.
It seemed like I can remember, back before I had to get up this early, way back when, it all changing around George Bush's administration with Letterman when he started really to become pretty political, which at that time kind of turned me off because I thought, I'm not watching for this. I'm watching to be entertained. Is there a point where really these shows really did turn political?
President Trump and candidate Trump didn't take kindly to the way in which
to this broadcast with
where Colbert really got his start.
Essentially, you've got Comedy Central, The Daily Show, and the Colbert Report. that was his own show. You know, Colbert really kind
of the tank for Harris.
Got put on the map that their edits made Harris
his recurring role,
thus presenting
on
sort
the
of
Daily
an
show.
Unfair advantage for Harris.
And that show,
now,
of course,
this never really
ended up going
out
to court
during the
Bush administration.
CBS,
the Iraq War,
rather it's a
kind of parent company,
Paramount,
decided to pay out
that
fine rather than battle this out.
Late Night TV was shared by
and there are
a fine or a settlement.
So what you ended up with,
like Colbert, pardon me, the fine,
and
the fine was paid
CBS
to whom?
Was a smaller audience, but a very.
I'm just trying to get to if the FCC
and,
was involved in this,
cases,
or was this just a civil action between Trump and CBS?
This was a civil action. This was the FCC was not involved in this. This was a settlement.
Yes, they also wanted
And that's actually important because the FCC, Tommy, does come into play in this story in another way.
And laugh a little bit.
Which is?
While all this is going on, Tommy, CBS's parent company, Paramount, is trying to arrange a purchase of this arrange its own purchase to a company called Skydance. It's a big Hollywood studio company. Okay, this is going on. They want this merger to go through, but Paramount is worried that the White House will not allow this merger to go through because of their beef with CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the. Now, this enters into somewhat speculative territory, so I want to be really careful. I'm not saying, Tommy, that Paramount decided to fold and pay this settlement out to Trump because it wants this merger to go through. That's not what I'm saying. However, that is those are the kinds of questions that critics are beginning to ask. And the FCC approves these kinds of mergers, Tommy. And the FCC has said that Trump's beef with CBS would really have nothing to do with whether or not this merger would be successful. But I think that it's possible that some people are spooked inside the board.
So with all that being said, they're going to give Colbert until, next May, I think it is? You would think if it had been strictly retribution, they would have fired him immediately, or would you have to have something ready to take its place? Take me through that part of the decision.
Right. Well, this has to do with contracts, and not just Colbert's contract, but also paying out his production staff. So, yes, there are fans, Tommy, of Colbert's show who are, perhaps more politically progressive, who are angry with the parent company CBS, saying that the timing is actually conspicuous. And, Paramount is breathing down the neck of CBS to cancel Colbert just because they want to make Trump happy. We don't necessarily have the evidence, Tommy, that that is the case, in part because of some of the timing issues that you note. But these are the questions that some people are asking. And I think what we want to be looking toward in the future, Tommy, is whether or not there are any successful lawsuits against CBS and Paramount on behalf of advocacy organizations claiming that they were basically trying to bribe the Trump administration by sacrificing Stephen Colbert on the altar and by paying out this settlement.
So how did President Trump react to the news of Colbert's cancellation? Claim credit for it, but he did celebrate it. I absolutely love that Colbert got fired, Trump wrote on Truth Social. His talent was even less than his ratings. I hear Jimmy Kimmel is next. He has even less talent than Colbert. Greg Gutfeld is better than all of them combined, including the moron on NBC who ruined the once great Tonight Show. Well, Mr. President, tell us how you really feel. And then, of course, Colbert responded, "How dare you, sir," he said on air. "Would an untalented man be able to compose the following satirical witticism? Go F yourself." Oh, boy. Meanwhile, Fox News Channel's Gutfeld has surged to become late night's highest-rated program. In the second quarter of 2025, the show notched 3 million viewers. Here's Jason DeRosha on WCCO in Minneapolis with more.
I wanted to start today with late night TV because the news that CBS has canceled The Colbert Show to me was shocking because I know that the economics have changed, that late night television isn't the cash cow that it once is, that these hosts make a lot of money, and the cost to have the staff and do the writing and all of the stuff is a lot. At the same time, I'm not an idiot, and CBS has been fighting with the Trump administration, as CBS has been trying, and their parent company, Paramount, have been trying to have a merger take place and get federal approval for this. President Donald Trump has been engaged in a lawsuit that was just settled over coverage that he didn't like during the campaign on 60 Minutes. Colbert criticized the network just last week for making a deal, for bending the knee. And then Colbert gets canceled. I have two questions for you at 651-461-9226. Do you believe it, that this is strictly a business thing? And my other question is, who is the best late night host of all time for you? Who is your favorite? Because for me, it's Letterman and not even close. Well, I won't say that. It's Letterman and then it's Johnny Carson. So I want to play Colbert's announcement from his show last night. So this was news that Colbert said he just found out last night that his show was being canceled. Here it is.
Right. Senator Adam Schiff was my guest. We harmonized on Seven Bridges Road. What a voice, I cried. But before we start the show, I want to let you know something that I found out just last night. Next year will be our last season. The network will be ending The Late Show in May. And yeah, I share your feelings. It's not just the end of our show, but it's the end of The Late Show on CBS. I'm not being replaced. This is all just going away. And I do want to say, that the folks at CBS have been great partners. I'm so grateful to the Tiffany Network for giving me this chair and this beautiful theater to call home. And of course, I'm grateful to you, the audience, who have joined us. So, every night, in here, out there, all around.
So that was the announcement from Colbert on his show. The series will end in May of 2026, so it's not ending immediately. But to me, it is astonishing to think they're shutting the whole thing down. I remember, like, I saw Colbert. I saw Letterman in the Ed Sullivan Theater. As a kid, Letterman was sort of, I always told people that I wanted to be a combination of Peter Jennings, David Letterman, and Bob Barker. Those were my broadcasting inspiration.
Tall mountain.
And you look at the time, and sure, I got to be honest, late night TV to me today, it's not that interesting. And I don't know what changed, because Colbert is very talented. His show certainly found its footing when he went all in on bashing Trump. And the audience followed. Late night for me, in general, is more political than I want at 10:35 at night. There are other things to make fun of and joke about and talk about. And for me, it's a lot. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, all day on social media, you're reading about people angry about politics. And then, now, granted, if you're a comedian, there's a lot of comedy. Yeah. In politics. But Carson, Leno, Letterman would talk about current events, but the monologue was about more than that. And for me, I miss some of it. And I think, you know, you look at Colbert and you say he was a Trump basher. I don't know. For me, it's hard to believe that this show wasn't canceled in part to kiss up to the administration, that Donald Trump has had success by threatening lawsuits and filing lawsuits. He sued ABC. He sued CBS. Mm-hmm. Today, he's threatening to sue the Wall Street Journal. It is an astonishing change. And I know people love it. If you're a Republican, if you're a Trump fan, you love that Trump's not just taking it. He's going after people. But I think there is a chilling effect mm-hmm. when you, as president, instead of using the fact that you have the biggest microphone in the world, you are using the threat of financial ruin of businesses that are already sort of struggling because of the changing media environment, yeah. the fact that we stream video instead of appointment television. For me, like watching the Fallons, the Kimmels, the who's the NBC host, Seth Meyers, mm-hmm. it is so designed to create a viral video that goes crazy the next day. It's yeah. less enjoyable for me to watch it.
Yep.
It's all bits, which, you know, Letterman used to like drop a watermelon off of the roof of the, you know, Ed Sullivan Theater. Yeah. Like there were bits, but the bits would take 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that was part of the entertainment. Now you're younger.
Yeah, but the four pillars of late night, and I don't know if you mentioned this one, but Conan.
Yeah.
It's pretty much Leno, Conan, Letterman, and I'm blanking now. What was the other one? Leno, Letterman. Leno. Oh, Carson. Yeah.
Yeah, Johnny.
Yeah, Carson, Letterman.
I mean, I remember being a kid and staying. I was allowed to stay up late to watch Carson. That yeah. was, you had these milestones in development where you were allowed to stay up late to watch Johnny, and you were allowed to watch Saturday Night Live.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, now I'm old enough. I can stay up. My parents would let me stay up till 10:30 at night. Lots of texts about this. Colbert not funny anymore, just mean-spirited. I think he's still funny, but it is. I just don't need that every night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the Daily Show style roundup where it's all political news. Favorite Letterman was when Trump was railing to Buy American, and Letterman cut Trump's chai that he his tie that was made in China. It's true. It is true. Are these late night shows too political for you? I think that part of the reason Colbert was canceled was because CBS desperately, Paramount desperately wants to cut ties, sell CBS to new owners, and wash the whole thing down the toilet. It is sad. To me, that is sad. The end of a late night show, I think, is a bummer.
Dave Glover has a different question than whether CBS canceled Colbert to make Trump happy. He wonders, why did it take so long? Here's more.
Well, I think a couple things. I mean, I think it's a fair question to ask if CBS did that because of the lawsuit that they just settled.
If that was a part of it?
With the president. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair question. But then I started reading. That show loses $40 million a year.
Yeah, I think
how in the world were they doing that? Why would you do that? Why did it last as long as it did? I mean, I was looking at the breakdown. A 200-person staff. What is that show? 1 hour a night?
Mm-hmm.
Is it an hour or an hour and a half?
Hour and a half tops, you know.
So
that would be
200-person staff, $100 million budget, and you're losing 40. How did it last? And this, by the way, to me is less about Colbert, my part of this, and more about the industry. This is, again, TV not learning their lesson. Late night TV is dying. People are not watching it anymore. Why are you spending big money on those shows? It's ridiculous. You're not adapting. And it goes right back to what we were just talking about with baseball.
Well, then it's frustrating to see people complain about it and act as if, you know, the fact that this show was losing $40 million a year is not a big deal to a company. Like, The Late Show with Stephen Colbert is not providing the same type of service that a PBS or an NPR does.
Right, right.
It's supposed to be a comedy show. I apologize to everyone who loves that show. I've never found it funny. Every clip I've ever seen has just been like preaching about politics. That's not how I like to unwind at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I've just never been like, oh, funny punchline there. It's just a little silly to me. Like Wheels said, it's perfectly fair to ask the question, but then when you look at the numbers behind it, it's like, okay, obviously he's not being let go because of politics. Even Keith Olbermann has come out and said, like, yeah, that's not what happened here. If he was being canceled for politics, he wouldn't be on the air until
another year.
May of
right.
2026. Right. Like, this is just silly. This is a dying media. This format is dying. They were losing money. That's why it's going away.
I also
we don't have to turn it into some sort of, like, resistance thing.
Yeah, very much. And I also think that, like Rachel said, that format of like, that sort of late night show is going away. People are less interested. There's just more things to watch on the streaming stuff.
Yeah.
But then also, I think that style, so there's a lot of people call it applause comedy. It's basically, rose to prominence very much with, like, sort of the rise of Trump and that sort of comedy that Rachel's talking about, where he just gets up there and does, like, you know, for lack of a better term, like, Orange Man bad jokes for, you know, while also preaching, like, and that's why we need to get back to normalcy in this country, and then everybody goes
virtue
crazy.
Signaling.
Yeah. And it's just not, that's not comedy necessarily, it alienates half your audience. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, but you have to realize that certain people are not going to watch if that's the content.
It's also alienating advertisers because that's part of the reason why they're losing $40 million a year, because viewership is going down on the late night shows and ad dollars are leaving too. So
think about just all of the things that social media and TikTok fill that late night used to.
Yeah.
Right.
The alternative sort of stuff you don't get from the mainstream.
I'm Lauren Berry, and I want to say thank you for listening. This show is produced by me and by Christy Strauser. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.